Being our series in Colossians. A special thank you to Mr. Ian Wilkie, who kicked us off last week at quite short notice. Unfortunately, my good friend Mr. James Cullen came down with COVID and hasn't been able to preach his message yet, but he'll get his opportunity. But yes, thanks again to Ian for kicking us off in Colossians. This term, we're going to be seeing how Paul shows us the importance of knowing Jesus and growing in our understanding of what he's done for us, and the importance of showing the world what Jesus has done. We're going to be challenged by how the gospel transforms lives. I'm looking forward to that. I think one of the first things to note is that Paul's writing from prison. He's never met the Colossians before, other than Epaphras, who is from Colossae himself. Epaphras is the one who has brought the Bible, the gospel message, to the Colossians in the first place. But Paul writes to them now to encourage them in their faith, to guide them, but also point out some of the pitfalls and dangers that they face. We're going to see that over this term, some of the things that Paul warns them about. But as I said before, Paul is adamant not only of their need to know Jesus, but to also grow in their understanding of Jesus and his gospel message. He calls them to grow more and more and show Jesus to the world. In these first few verses, Paul gives us an incredible picture of how the gospel message is at work in the world. He says in verse 6 there, in the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing so amongst you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. So this message about Jesus Christ dying on the cross to repair the broken relationship between people and God, this message, says Paul, is growing throughout the world and bearing fruit. Now I'm going to ask Alison to just go back a couple of pictures there. We have a passion fruit vine at home. Just one more. Yep, there we go. We have a passion fruit vine at home, and it's a bit hard to make it out in this picture, but it's grown up over the archway that we built for it, but it's also taken over the whole garden bed beside it and is now growing along the chook yard fence as well. It's taken over. There's some rosemary under there somewhere, okay? But it's bearing fruit. Yes, it's taking over, but we're getting passion fruit. It's great. There's been quite a bit of passion fruit eating going on in our family of late. But just as that passion fruit vine is growing, the gospel, says Paul, is growing throughout the world. And it's powerful. It all starts the day when you first hear it, when you first hear the gospel message and truly understand God's grace. Now let's just pause and think about that for a minute. To understand God's grace, you first need to, in a sense, understand the dire situation that humanity's in because of their sin. You have to understand your need for forgiveness, because without that, you're stuck in your sin. Sin is something you can't personally escape from by yourself. The punishment for sin, the right and true punishment for sin, is death. But then to understand that gracious act of substitution, Jesus' life for ours, Jesus' life given on the cross, which releases us from the punishment for sin, which is eternal death. So when you first truly understand that grace, that's the very beginning of the gospel starting to work in your life. And Paul says, in verse 3 there, he says, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we've heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love you have for all God's people. The faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven and about which you've already heard in the true message of the gospel that's come to you. Now, this knowledge of what Jesus has done sparks faith and love, and they begin to grow after you first hear about them. Faith in Christ Jesus and love for all of God's people. And this faith and love, says Paul, is driven by that hope that we have in eternal life that is now ours, because the penalty of sin has been paid for. Now, this is worth giving thanks for, says Paul. It's the subject of Paul's prayers for this community whenever he prays for them. And just those few little reminders there, you might have noticed from Paul that this is the true message of the gospel. It's all about the one who is truly the Son of God, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. But listen to what else he's praying for them there. In verse 9, he says, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord, please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work and growing in the knowledge of God. They are to be filled with the knowledge of God's will for their lives. The Holy Spirit is going to help them in this and will help them grow in their understanding of everything that God has in mind for them to do in their life. This is what Ian was teaching last week. The end result of this growth is that our lives are transformed by the gospel. We go from being sinful, selfish people to living lives worthy, worthy lives that please God in every way. We bear fruit in every good work and we grow in our knowledge of him. This is the powerful transformation, if you like, that takes place when we believe the good news and trust Jesus and hand our lives to him. It is powerful. And if you don't think it sort of sounds like much or hasn't really done much in your life yet, remember that the power is not coming from us. This power for transformation is coming from God. It comes from God himself, whose gracious act of salvation was what kicked it all off in the first place. And he now brings that momentum, if you like, to our lives, so that that first act of grace begins to bear fruit. He says in verse 10, he says, this is so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work and growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. See, it's coming from God, this power, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who's qualified you, listen to this bit, qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. See, God strengthens us as we grow. We draw on his unlimited power and might. Patience, understanding, endurance, these are kind of like the hallmarks of the Christian life. They'll stand us apart from those who are yet to understand God's grace. But Paul's also praying here that they'll be thankful for what they have. Thankful for this grace that God has lavished upon us. The Colossians now share in this inheritance in the kingdom of light with all God's people, all of God's family. See, the gospel changes your actions, your demeanor and outlook on life, your hope for the future, and your knowing of what God wants you to do. This is the gospel that is going everywhere out into the world and bearing fruit wherever it goes. Now, Paul reminds us also that the actions of the gospel actually draw us into a relationship with God our Father. Paul reminds us that all the fullness of God is seen in Jesus, his Son. All the fullness of the Father dwells in the Son. He's the exact representation of his Father. And because of the cross, God is actually happy to reconcile to himself all things. Basically, when God looks at Jesus, when he looks at us, he sees Jesus powerfully working in us. And that brings reconciliation. He sees his Son and goes, "Yes, my perfect, holy Son." So verse 19, God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. You see, broken relationships are mended because of Jesus' blood poured out on the cross. First and foremost, it's our relationship with God, our Father in heaven. But as we read before, this also, the gospel also gives us a place in God's family. It comes with an inheritance in the kingdom of light. That place in God's family means that we begin to be in relationship with one another in the church. Being part of God's family means that we share the same promises, the same gifts, the same blessings. And the gospel grows in such a way that our faith and love, our faith in Christ, and our love for all of God's people, these continue to grow. Our relationships with each other continue to grow and get stronger. Not only are relationships mended, but they flourish as the gospel powerfully works in us. As the Holy Spirit helps us to understand who we are and what we are to be doing as God's people. When we trust in Jesus, we go from being without hope, facing certain judgment, to becoming children of the kingdom of light. Verse 21, Paul says, "Once you were alienated from God. You were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now he's reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation." That's what God sees now when he sees us because of what Jesus has done. This all happens if you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. We continue in strength to trust Jesus and all that he's done. Again, we are all in the same situation. We all need Jesus. We were all alienated from God and were enemies. And without Jesus, we would remain alienated from God forever. But because of our faith and our trust in him, established and firm, We won't be shaken from our hope and joy. We all share in the graceful mercy of God together. We're all lifted, if you like, out of that pit and given a place of our own in the kingdom of light. And that's really worth rejoicing in, that very fact. Our relationship with God is set to grow and thrive because of all he's done in rescuing us. The final thing we want to say today is that this message is for anyone who has ears to hear. We saw this message actually coming through loud and strong, or loudly and clearly, in Mark's gospel that we looked at last term. The gospel is for anyone who hears the call and truly understands and believes in their heart what Jesus has done for them. If it remains established and firm in your heart, then you are now a member of the kingdom of light. Paul says something else somewhat surprising in verse 23. He says there from verse 22, he's reconciled you by Christ's physical body. You know, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. Then he says, this is the gospel that you heard and has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. Now, Paul says that the message about Jesus has come to every creature under heaven. Now, this might refer to the fact that everyone and everything is part of God's creation and can see God's good creation for themselves and should be able to see that there is a creator just from what has been made. You should be able to look at everything around you and go, there has to be a creator, there has to be a God who does care. Now, sometimes this is called general revelation that everyone can see. It's only, however, when you read God's word or have someone tell you the gospel and what Jesus has done that you come to understand the hope, this invitation that's held out to you to be a member of the kingdom of light. But one of the key things to notice here is that the gospel going out to every creature under heaven right around the world, the gospel is the answer to the worldwide problem of sin which affects all of creation. Sin has affected the entire world, and it's the only answer that can change this is the gospel. I believe that we will see that come to fruition, if you like, that final picture of the gospel going around the world in its entirety when we get to the new heavens and the new earth. Described in Revelation chapter 21, at the start of Revelation 21, John says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth had passed away. There was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. In the new creation, the old order of things will have passed away. The effects of sin on the world will no longer be seen. This also means that with the message of the gospel going out everywhere. Anyone who puts their trust in Jesus will be saved. This is for anyone who will hear and understand. The Colossians, you know, they heard it from Epaphras, a servant of the gospel. Paul himself says that he has become a servant of the gospel. It might sound like a bit of a funny statement, you know, I'm serving a message. I'm a messenger, is basically what he's saying, a servant of the most powerful message in the world, a message that will have the most radical effect on the world. And when you're serving a message, you're actually serving the one from whom the message comes. He's a servant of Christ. So if you want an answer to all the sin and suffering and pain in the world, it's the gospel. It changes people's hearts to love one another. It restores that relationship that we have with God our Father. And to know his will, to know the good things that he would have us do, begins to change the whole world that we live in. As we learn more, as we grow in our understanding, we too see that God wants us to be servants. Jesus even commissions us as believers to go and make disciples of all nations, to show him to the world. In this way, we will see the gospel continuing to go and grow and bear fruit wherever God's people are established and firm in their faith in Jesus. Let's pray. Our dear Lord, our Father in heaven, we want to thank you that Jesus has come and died in our place on the cross. We thank you that your Holy Spirit and your gospel transform us and confirms our place with you in the kingdom of light. We thank you for acting so powerfully in our lives. Help us to respond with gratitude and thanks by living for you in all that we do. We pray that we would continually grow in our knowledge and understanding, that you would indeed lavish us with wisdom, particularly in such difficult and troubling times as we find ourselves in 2022. Lord, we pray that we would hold out that light of hope in the gospel to whoever will listen to us. We ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen.